This is the Last Minute Blues Podcast with Donnie Fandango, Jeff Burton, Alex Ferrario, and former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers.
It is the Last Minute Blues Podcast. Donnie Fandango joined in studio by Alex Ferrario from 101 ESPN, as well as Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic. The Blues season is Dunsville, and we have an absurd amount of things to talk about. But I need to bring up something off the get-go that is not important to anyone else except for a certain niche bunch of people.
I love these setups.
There it is. Donnie starts
today. Yes. Today is the day that Pearl Jam releases their 12th studio album called Dark Matter.
Jeremy Spoken.
Yeah, that's right. Very well done.
Donnie, was Pearl Jam in studio with us there?
Almost sounded like
it,
right?
Just like them.
Listen. There are a lot of bands that have been around for a long time, and they make new records, and you don't give a rat's ass about it. Pearl Jam is a unique, wonderful, beautiful thing, and they are still making great records. And I listened to the album this morning, and it is so goddamn good that if you are a Pearl Jam fan, sometime this weekend, give it a whirl. Put it on when you're driving. It's just it just made me so happy. It was a great way to start the day. You know what I'm saying?
I was wondering who I was driving by. There was a person that had the big smile on their face. You know that horror film smile? I thought Donnie was hit with it. I drove past him. I'm like, what is this? Now he's just rocking out to some Pearl Jam.
Yeah, first of all, they keep telling us that we're eventually going to be on YouTube, and I can't wait till that day comes, because as Donnie's describing this new album by Pearl Jam, he's got his hands together like he's holding a baby, like caressing a baby. And Donnie, I want to know the rules on this. So is this out publicly, or is this something you got?
Oh, no, no, no.
Ahead of time.
It's out publicly.
Oh, okay.
When it's a band as big as Pearl Jam, we just get it when it hits for everybody else. So, like, so it hit, midnight Friday on the East Coast. So we get it at 11, and then that's when I get it. When it's a smaller band, I'll normally get the full length the week of, a few days early. But a band that big, they don't want to leak that stuff out.
They don't need us.
I was just going to see if I could pull some strings and ask Donnie, can I have it?
Can I take it home with me? CD? Yeah. Can I borrow it and put it in my car on the way home?
Do you have the cassette tape? No,
you know what? I that is one thing that I have started. I've been buying vinyl now for a while, and I have, in some cases, for bands that I really, really like, have been buying cassettes. Most of the time it's like special edition sort of stuff, and I leave it wrapped. I don't even play it or whatever. But even in going back and just the whole nonsense of a cassette, stop, rewind, fast forward, man, never again. I never, ever, ever want to go back to those friggin' days.
And you never know when to rewind to. You're rewinding, and it's like, oh, cool, I'm in the middle of this. Is this the song? Nope, got to keep going.
And then I didn't even think about this until I said it, but like the land right before us of 8-tracks, that whole business was friggin' nuts, too, because then you're just clicking through, and you've got no idea where you're even going to land in the song.
Well, I'm glad you guys are past it in your lives, because I'm still not, because I do the Recorder with the Blues interviews.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, a player, let's just say Braden Chen, will say something a week or two ago, and I'll go, gosh, I need that quote for my story, and I'll go back, and finally, after I get through 6 players, I go, oh, here's Brain Chin. Okay, yeah, here's me. You gotta rewind. Is that a good rewind noise?
It sounded just like when I rewind my Blockbuster tapes.
So I gotta rewind, and then I'll press the button, and he'll say, yeah, I think LA is a good team. Nope. I gotta go back a little further, and he goes, yeah, I think we've been good on that play. Yeah, I found it.
You know when they're doing that, Donnie, when you walk by press row, and every Lou, JR, Matt DeFranks, they got their recorders up to their ear, and then it's just what are these guys doing right now?
But it has. But you know what? Real quick, though, it probably has gotten monumentally easier for you as your career has gone on, as far as getting post-game audio and that kind of stuff, right?
Well, and I don't know, pump a company or whatever, but the New York Times, when they bought The Athletic, the New York Times has a company called Trent that transcribes it for you. So, like, yesterday when I got home from the Doug Armstrong interview, I pop my recorder into my computer, and then I send the file to Trent, and they transcribe it, and then all of a sudden on my screen will appear all of Doug Armstrong's words.
Oh, that's
the
great.
The only thing is, there's a few, like, there'll be an and, so you got to go through it, and you still got to clean it up, but for the most part,
at least you don't have to type it all out.
Oh, dang, that's awesome.
Yeah, with my Jimmy Dean sausage fingers, I don't have to type it up. Yeah.
I just cannot imagine you having to use use your phone for an entire game. That I would cry. I wouldn't do it.
Oh,
I'd probably just quit.
Laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, that would just be
that
too
much. That
was
amazing when he was like, I left my whole laptop at home. I'm like, what do you do now, JR? I'm like, cool. I told him, I said, you want my laptop? No, I'll do it on my phone. Like, okay, JR, have fun tweeting this entire game from your phone.
I should have just left. Who remembers that game anyway?
I don't even remember what game it was.
I don't either. And chances are the Blues most certainly don't. So,
just go look back at JR's tweets and see the word vomit.
Well, whoa, my pen just broke.
A pen.
Oh, damn it. And this was a pen I really liked, too. All right, well, anyway. So, season over. Blues dunzo.
Pen's
all right,
over.
We can really
pen's over.
Pen's over. You know, we can really like have this sort of discussion about good season, bad season, all that sort of thing. And I don't, you know, whatever we decide to come up with is what. But I feel just as of right now, as a Blues fan, incredibly hopeful moving forward. I don't feel that the season was everything that I wanted it to be. If there would have been more consistency as far as the effort goes, I think I'd feel a lot better going into the offseason. But as we have said a million times before, there are many, many, many reasons to be hopeful. Obviously, things to be unhappy about. Obviously, things that have to be fixed. Obviously, we're a ways away from where we need to be. But I think that this should very much be a glass half full conversation most of the time, as opposed to the opposite.
Yeah, I'm surprised at how many people that responded on my post game Wednesday night and yesterday during the show after the press conference of us saying, like, look, this was a successful season, because people were saying, you missed the playoffs, it can't be a successful season. There can be two different things at once of not making the playoffs and that being unsuccessful, but having still a successful season. And I'm sure JR felt this way. Doug Armstrong did not act like a president of hockey operations that was pissed off at his team yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go back last year, he was pissed and you knew it. This year felt like a little bit more of a calming presence from Doug Armstrong. And even when we spoke with him, the way I view it is the unsuccessful part is you miss the playoffs. And four more wins, you're a playoff team. And four more wins, meaning you beat San Jose twice, Chicago once, Columbus once out of those two games, you're a playoff team. The difference for me, why I would look at it as somewhat successful, is you weren't the same team as last year. Last year, you were one game below 500, 81 points. You were done by the middle of March. This year, you were 11 games above 500 at the end of the season. You had an 11-point jump. And you're talking about being 7 points out of a playoff spot. So to me, bigger picture, that was a success, because typically when a team stays stagnant or is the same team, like Ottawa, like Buffalo, like New Jersey, like when it's those same teams, that's a problem. You made some type of a change. And then when you go into individuals, when you talk about finding out what Thomas was, what Parayko was, what your two goaltenders were, the nice surprise that Nick Leddy was this season, and Matt Kessel, and then with the young players of Bolduc, Dean, Toropchenko, and Jake Neighbors, I mean, to me, I look at that and say that's a win in my book, because the expectation I had was a playoff team. Mm-hmm. You were 8 points away from being a playoff team, which last year you were 17 points away from it.
You just sold me. I'm getting season tickets.
And let's go. Send me your money, actually, yeah. And I'll buy the season tickets for you. Venmo Ferrario 101 ESPN. I'll take it.
You just threw that out there so somebody might.
Somebody might. And I'll tell you what, if you do, I'll send it back to you, but that's just incredible.
No, I hate to always. That was a great job, too. They need you on the sales team.
What can
there,
I but, say? You know, hey, Curbs, if you're listening, I can do it in the offseason.
I hate to always reference, you know, sitting down and writing a story, but that's just the world I live in. And yesterday, Alex, when I walked past you guys are broadcasting out there at Centene, you had Doug, great show, lots of guests.
Thank
that
you.
Was awesome. When I walked past you guys, you know, I jump in the car and you start thinking about what are you going to write, and then you get home and you flip the laptop and then it's blinking. I always talk about the cursor blinking. What do you do? What am I going to write here? And the first thing that strikes you is where I always go with the story, and the first thing that struck me is something Alex just said, is Doug looked so at ease. Like, He sat at the table and like the world was great, and I don't blame him, but it's just a little bit contrasting for a team that missed the playoffs. Like,
sure.
Typically it's all guided on, did you make the playoffs? How good was the year?
Right.
Everybody's in a bad mood. Or, you know, you win a Stanley Cup and everybody's in a great mood. But for a team that missed the playoffs, you know, Doug had a lot of positive things, kind of sounded like Alex there a little bit.
What can I say?
But it's right. So I know we've been critical. I know last week we sat here on these same mics and talked about, but they didn't make the playoffs.
Sure.
But when you look at all the things they have coming in, and you look at other teams who are in a very difficult situation, whether they don't have the goaltending that the Blues have or they don't have the prospects that the Blues have, you know, the Blues are in a pretty good position. And, oh, by the way, let's not forget that it wasn't guaranteed that Colton Parayko was going to have this great bounce-back season.
Yeah.
It wasn't guaranteed that Jordan Binnington was going to go from an 884 to a 913,
I think it was.
You know, none of that stuff was guaranteed, and it happened. So in addition to the neighbors, the Toropchenko, you know, Dvorsky's on as well, in addition to all that stuff, they've got some foundation players, some pillar players who really had great years. And say what we want to say about not making the playoffs and losing to San Jose 32 times this year. They do have a chance here.
And I don't want to come off hypocritical, because somebody listening to this is going to go back and listen to our show a month ago and be like, Alex, you were so negative about this team. Look, I'm frustrated they're not in the playoffs. I think this team should have been in playoffs, and I do still believe that there needs to be changes to this roster, because look, you lost all of those bad teams to where when you're talking about how you should be proud of beating all those great teams, that's awesome. Like, yeah, you played well against the Dallases, the Colorados, the Vegases, the Vancouvers, but you still played bad and didn't show up with that same effort against the Columbuses, the Chicagos, the San Jose's. Like, that is still frustrating to me. But, man, I mean, this season, and we even asked Doug this yesterday, like, how was this season watching the Blues versus last year? And he's like, night and day. He said last year was very difficult.
Yeah.
Because think about it. I mean, 7-game losing streaks, 10-game losing streaks. Like, that's frustrating. The most you had is, what, 4 games in a row, I think you had this season, to where you lost and then you figured it out. So I just don't want to come off hypocritical to where it's like, oh, yeah, the Blues are fine now after 2 weeks ago we were pissed off about it. But I do just look at it bigger picture after the season's over and think, man, that is much better than I thought that was going to be.
Well, here's what's going to happen. First of all, we can be dancing around in both of these worlds, and they both be true.
Absolutely.
We can be disappointed, and we should be disappointed, because when we saw them, the classic example of this for me is the game before the All-Star break against Columbus.
Yeah.
Those dudes, you might have just dressed a 20 different guys, and you wouldn't have friggin' known that our Blues weren't there.
Yeah. Both teams.
Just brutal.
They were in Turks and Caicos before that puck dropped.
Absolutely. So there were disappointments, but we did get to see a lot of freaking positives. And before I get too low about anything, I'm going to think about Jake Neighbors mucking it up right in front of the opposition's goalie, pissing people off, and being there to friggin' put back a rebound, you know?
The guest we need on this show first when we get on YouTube this offseason has to be Jake Neighbors.
Jake,
I just want Donnie and Jake to go back and forth for 10 minutes.
And Donnie, the Jake Neighbors who, you know, not confirmed, but looked like he had a concussion right after he hits the head, trying to come back for the last couple games that are meaningless. And
right.
I just want to get back on the ice, Jake Neighbors.
Hey, Jakey. Settle, brother. It's all right. You'll get 82 next year, okay?
That was Brendan Donovan last year, where the Cardinals were like 30 games out, and he has got one arm hanging off of his shoulder. He's like, no, I'm going to keep playing. But like, dude, you're good.
But the great part about that, and we have seen this, and I made this point a couple podcasts ago, you see who the Blues are inking to deals for the next year or so. It is your Oscar Sundquist and your Nathan Walkers and some backbone guys. And I love that, and it's not sexy, and I understand that, but that is a good backbone for this team to have. And I look forward to seeing what tweaks are made here to see if we can even get more people on board. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because it just seemed like there were times this year where not everybody was all in, you know? That the buy-in was not all there or whatever it was. And if we can just keep maybe flushing some of those guys out, bringing in some new bodies that want to be here and do the dirty work, we're going to be just god dang fun.
I'll tell you the one that I'm excited about after talking with him yesterday, and it goes to the point of you're saying of like bringing more of these people that are committed in to the team next year. Zach Bolduc. I did not expect this from Zach Bolduc. I really thought Bolduc was more of a Jordan Kyrou-esque player, like an Alex DeBrincat, to where perimeter guy, just takes the shots, he's got speed, doesn't really, as Donnie calls it, muck it up in front of the net. That was not the case with Bolduc this season. Like, a lot of his shots and his goals came from, you know, the perimeter above the faceoff dot. But he scored like three goals standing there right in front of the crease. The one that I can think of most notably was that the game where he got the pass from Robert Thomas and then stick-handled around the goaltender and then tucked it in. I think that was against Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. But when we talked with Bolduc yesterday on BK and Ferrario, you know, we talked with him about, you know, guys he watches, and he talked about the McDavids, and then he said Nathan MacKinnon. But the answer he gave on MacKinnon was the one that caught me. He goes, I love MacKinnon because he has speed, but he uses his strength. And he said, my goal this offseason is to go add strength and figure out how to protect the puck better. Mm. Think about that for a minute. Like, this is a goal scorer. And, Jer, you've done tons of these interviews where goal scorers talk about, oh, I want to work on my shot, I want to work on my release, and I want to work on more abilities to find different ways to score. Bolduc was like, I'm going to go into this offseason and figure out how to put on more strength so that I can score more goals and protect the puck. Like, yeah. To me, that's what you want.
The only thing is, I talked to him about that a week or two ago, Bolduc, and I said, so what are you now? And he goes, 185.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you want to get to by next year to play with that strength? He goes, oh, I think I could get to, like, 190. And I'm like, oh, isn't that cute? I remember kindergarten. Like 190. What's that going to do in
JR's
the corner
like,
there?
Boy, if I could give you 15 pounds now, my
15.
Man.
15.
But, all right. I am going to make some of our listeners incredibly unhappy with what I'm about to say.
Oh, okay. Well, I usually do that.
Get ready. The tweets will be coming at me this time.
Good.
I absolutely do not think this offseason that the Blues should trade Jordan Kyrou unless the offer is absolutely ridiculous. I just think that you have got to give that kid a little bit more time to mature and to grow before you trade him, simply because of what he is capable of doing when he is at his best. I just...
No, I'm right here.
It scares... It just frightens the bejesus out of me to move that guy for what? For one, and for two, to see him go somewhere... It click and be a 40-goal scorer for the next however many years.
And that could happen. And I don't think we'll see a trade this summer. You know, we could, and you play the soundbite back. But, like, I don't think we will, because I don't want to say that you'd be selling low. He did score 31 goals, but he can be so much better. Like, mm-hmm. This could have been another season where he goes – it could have went from 37 to 45, and then everybody thinks a lot differently about him. For the same reasons that you're saying, I think the Blues won't trade him. I think that he will be here next year. I think if he can have another good year, then things will look different. You know, the one point that Doug Armstrong made yesterday that really, I think, resonates with a lot of people is, you know, Jay Bouwmeester, everybody wanted his head.
Yeah.
And then when he leaves, it's like, hey, we need a Jay Bouwmeester. And then Doug said yesterday, he goes, Jordan Binnington's done, Colton Parayko's done, and now they're not done. And so, you know, things like that happen, especially with a younger guy like Kyrou. So listen, I've written about it. I know people give me trouble for hating on Jordan Kyrou. You know, it's I'm not coming at it from that place. I'm not. I write what I see. I write what people are telling me in terms of within the organization. And it's real with Jordan Kyrou in terms of that criticism. Like, we don't make this stuff up. But I think what you said, Donnie, is true, is he can still be that player. And I think the Blues are going to give him a little bit more runway there.
And I don't disagree on the trading him, because you don't know what you're going to get. I think if you move him, you have to be getting something that is also a top-line potential player, which that's not an easy thing to just trade in the offseason.
Right, finding that match is not going
to
be
easy. Teams aren't willing to just give up on another top-line player, but, I mean, we've seen crazier things happen. Just because I do agree, like, this is a 40-goal potential. I'll play devil's advocate with it, because the one thing that I do wonder if the Blues are going to look really hard at is what Donnie was talking about, to where you have to get the buy-in from every player. And although Kyrou did look really good down the stretch, the one thing that Jordan Kyrou has to figure out, which give him an opportunity to, or if you don't, maybe go somewhere else, you can't have these peaks and valleys all season.
Yeah.
The reason this team lost and didn't make the playoffs this year is because a lot of guys on this team had way too many valleys where they disappeared. And the one thing with Jordan Kyrou, I was looking at his numbers from last year and this year, you know, that last 20-game stretch, you put together kind of very similar numbers. It's that middle portion of the season to where that's the hardest part,
right,
which everybody talks about. Those are the dog days of the season. That's the part where you pick up two goals in every 7, 8, 9 games. And I can understand people probably screaming at their phones right now, like, Alex, everybody goes through these droughts. Absolutely. But they have other guys that pick up that pace to where when Kyrou goes through it, and I'm not going to just put him in there because Booch was in the same category.
Yeah, Shen.
Shen was in this category. Yeah. When you've got your top guys that are going through those scoring droughts, you're falling back on your secondary pieces to where when other guys is top, like let's take Dallas, for example. Jason Robertson did not have a great year this year, 30-goal season. But when he disappears, they've got Sagan and Ben and Marchment and Roope Hintz and Wyatt Johnston. They've got all those guys. I don't know if the Blues are in the position right now to say, hey, if we lose this $8.5 million guy, who's picking up the slack?
Sure.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Absolutely. JR, in The Athletic yesterday, a tremendous article breaking down the latest from Blues GM Doug Armstrong.
By Pierre LeBrun.
Noteworthy quotes, including one shocker. And okay. And so as I'm reading this last night, and I get to the shocker portion of this. All right.
We got you with the headline. Finally.
Yeah.
Click.
JR, did you click?
Yeah, yeah.
So the shocker being that Doug Armstrong seemingly, maybe, possibly, a little more open to the idea of buying someone out potentially.
Yeah, and I was shocked by the answer. And I think it's for a couple reasons. One is, you know, when you're a general manager, and Doug's no different than the rest of them, you know, you make decisions and you want to live by them, and you have an ego in terms of they're going to work out, and anybody would, right? And so a couple of the Blues contracts are long term, maybe they're not working out. For years and years and years, Doug has just lived with them. And you know, one of them, what Jori Lehterä, he was able to package to
unbelievable,
still the greatest trade in my opinion.
I mean, jeez.
Unbelievable. So now you have a situation where you're trying to move forward, but you still have a lot of these early 30-year-old guys with 3 years left on their deal. You know, Torrey Krug, Justin Falk, you know, Shen's got a lot of years left. And so I wanted to ask him, because I get asked that question so many times, will the Blues buy somebody out? Okay, here's the platform. Doug, what do you think about the buyout? And he said, hey, nothing's off the table. He said, do you have a little bit of an ego with it? Yeah. I don't want to burn money. He used the analogy, you know, my kids ask me for $1,000 and say they're going to light it on fire. Hell no, I'm not giving you $1,000.
Well, that was your problem, kids. You told them you were going to burn it.
Yeah.
Don't burn it.
Duh.
They're going to use it.
Say it was for books. Come on.
Here's the difference between a couple years ago, are the Blues going to buy anybody out, and now. They didn't have cap space before. If you would have bought somebody out, you still have to bring somebody in to replace them. And that money for that buyout is still going to be on the books for the next couple of years. Well, now with the salary cap going up to $87.5 million, the Blues have like $14 million of wiggle room. So let's say they did buy somebody out, and it is going to be $2.3 million on the books for the next several years. The Blues should have the cap room to be able to kind of hide that somewhere. Mm-hmm. The thing is, you know, who do you bring in? And what Doug said yesterday, and I'll just end it at this, is if it makes sense for the future of the team. So I don't think they're just going to buy somebody out. Just everybody wants them to buy out this guy. Let's do it. Let's make everybody happy. It's only going to be a situation, does it make the team better moving forward?
Well, so then, guys, then the two most likely buyout candidates, would it be Justin Falk and Torrey Krug?
I'll add a third one in Kevin Hayes.
Oh,
I think for the way that the season ended, I would imagine that that's going to be part of the conversation also.
Can I bring up something about Kevin Hayes real quick? And listen, I appreciate the player in which that he is. I understand where he is in his career. It's taken me a long part of the season to get to that. But I was thinking about this morning. All right. So Kevin Hayes had issues with John Tortorella last year in Philadelphia, which, it's Tortorella. He does his thing.
Hard not to.
Okay. But then we're coming back to this year. So now it's an issue seemingly with Drew Bannister. So this is the second time that dude's been benched for seemingly, I don't know. I mean, is this creating a pattern here with this particular player? It almost, I don't know, man. No disrespect to Kevin Hayes, but if he's not here next year, I think that we can probably survive that.
Yeah, I'm really curious what they do, because a lot of that is going to ride on the head coach. Like, is if Bannister's here, is it not going to work out because Kevin Hayes is frustrated of how that season ended? I can't blame Drew Bannister. One, you have younger players, and two, I mean, I saw the play that got Kevin Hayes scratched in that Anaheim Ducks game, and it was the same stuff that got Verana sent back to the minors. It was the same stuff that got other guys benched. So, I mean, we're not going to play favorites here. The part that I would push back against myself on, which is an odd thing to do, but when Army talked about Dvorsky last year, he talked about, you know, you don't want to have a Dvorsky, and if he doesn't make the NHL, you've brought in a 8-year, $7.5 million player, and then Dvorsky, let's say he does make the NHL, and now you're stuck with this guy. He's like, you gotta make sure you're moving these pieces around correctly so that if Dvorsky makes the team, somebody's not taking a spot, and then Dvorsky has to become a winger. We have to make sure that if Dvorsky's ready, he plays, and if not, we have somebody to cover that. That's where Kevin Hayes and Braden Schenn, like, no disrespect to him, but it's kind of a placeholder situation to where, like, Kevin Hayes is a placeholder for Dalibor Dvorsky when he's ready to go so that he can jump into that spot. The whole thing about bringing Kevin Hayes in last year, we talked about this on the last podcast, was, you know, it was a part of that deal, and then they brought him in when the deal fell through, but they talked about how, you know, he's an identity guy, he's a guy that can make light in the locker room, and it seems like everybody loved him on the team, but that didn't make a difference on the ice. And that's where I feel like if you're Doug, like JR mentioned, you have to try and figure out what's best for the future of this team. If it didn't make a difference on the ice and at the last portion of the season, when they were trying to still stay alive, Kevin Hayes was sitting in the press box. How does that play into the future of this team? I'm with you on the Krug and Falk, because the one thing that stuck out to me, JR, and I don't know if you caught it, was when Doug was talking about all of the defensemen and kind of what he saw from them. He mentioned a great season by Colton Parayko, a surprising season by Nick Leddy, proud of Matthew Kessel. Tyler Tucker looks like he's here. He said, quote, we now know who Scott Perunovich is. He did not mention Krug and Falk in that press conference.
Yeah, but before I move on, I'm still stuck on you saying pushed yourself back. So my question is, like, if you push yourself, could you knock yourself over?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, it's the same exact strength, though.
Yeah, but you should see, technically alcohol does that pushing back. Like, if I'm on the golf course, I could push myself back.
Yeah, but if both of you would be drunk then, right?
Well, like, there's only one side of me that's drunk. There's one person that shows up on that golf course and he takes over, JR. And that's typically where it happens. So the push back of yourself is you lean one way and you say, no, I can't fall. You got to go back the other way. And you just fling around a little bit. You've seen drunk guys walking down the street, JR.
No, I got a buddy. He comes up with that stuff all the time. Like, we'll be drinking on a Friday night and he'll say, if God can do everything, can he create a rock that he can't lift? I'm sitting there going, I think we've been drinking too much here.
That dude.
Time to wrap her up.
That dude probably never leaves the shower.
Yeah.
Those shower thoughts are deep, man.
No, but guys, could they buy Krug out? I guess they could. I don't think they'd buy Falk out. You know, I think there could be some, even though it wasn't a good year for Justin Falk, you know, I think there could be some, maybe there'd be interest in Torrey Krug. The thing is, you're probably attaching draft picks or prospects in those trades, kind of like they did when they moved Yuri Laterra. Is don't forget there were two first round draft picks that went
to
the Philadelphia Flyers.
He did say, though, that he expects this defense to look different next year.
Yeah. So I think something could
happen. It feels like Doug's saying something's going to change.
Yeah, for sure. So I think something could happen. And then with Hayes, too. And don't forget, if you're a team who, you know, would take on Hayes, you're getting them so cheap.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, that you already cut the $7 million in half.
Right.
Now you're going to cut the $3.5 million in half. You're going to get like a third or fourth line player. For, you know, million and a half. So I don't know. I guess you go back to the shocker headline that we got you on, Donnie, is that it shocked me because Doug said that there is the possibility there where I haven't heard that from him but in the past.
And the no movement clauses he's brought up as well in that press conference.
Don't say that now. Everybody's going to get no movement.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes, right? Welcome to the NHL.
It's very interesting to me, as you guys are describing, because I was working yesterday so I didn't have a chance to pop in and listen like I wanted to. But I think that in these press conferences, you can garner a lot by A, reading between the lines, as well as, you know, like body language and stuff like that. And I think that with Army, I think it means something is what I'm saying.
I think the best thing that he said yesterday, the most noteworthy thing, is Alex when I asked a question and he said, great question.
Yeah. JR walked out of that room and was peacocking all the way back to his truck. Dude was walking with his chest out, his shoulders
were back.
My chest
sticks out anyway.
Why, guys, do I feel like Drew Bannister is dead man walking?
It's interesting you got that feel. I did not feel that way walking out of that press conference yesterday.
Well, you were there. I'm just saying, as a Blues fan, from my perspective, I feel like this dude's hanging around until Doug Armstrong finds somebody that he likes better. And I'm not saying that I'm correct, but I'm saying that that's just how I am feeling right now and how I'm perceiving it.
I personally don't think you're wrong there. I got the feel after that press conference was like they like Drew Bannister a lot. But Doug wants to see what else is out there. And, I mean, him saying, like, yeah, that list is real short. But he also said, like, there's guys that are still playing right now that I want to talk to. So I don't know if that's Rod the Bot. I don't know if that's somebody else that's in the playoffs. It sure seems like Doug's like, okay, well, there's other guys that I want to talk to. But we know that Drew Bannister wants to be here. So it kind of seems like, for a lack of a better phrase, kind of feels like the safety net for the Blues, to where it's like they know Bannister wants to be here and they think Bannister did a really good job. They want to see what else is out there. And if what else is out there stays with their team, doesn't get reinstated, doesn't want to leave their other team, we know we got Drew Bannister.
Which is fine, because at the end of the day, you have to do what's best for the organization. Tom Stillman has said that. Doug Armstrong has said that in the past. And, hey, it's a tough situation for Drew Bannister. It kind of reminds me of the time when I asked the girl at the prom, and she said, yeah. And then she's like, yeah, I don't know. You know, like,
let me think about it.
It's like he's, you know.
It's probably because you asked her about the push yourself back thing. Come on, man. Stop asking follow-up questions.
Goofy question. It's tough for Drew Bannister because, let's face it, if he were absolutely unequivocally the guy, they would have said that yesterday.
Yep.
And so Doug Armstrong is going to check in with other candidates. And we could be sitting here in 10 days doing a podcast talking about who they hired. This guy got knocked out in the first round. He became available and they brought him in. Or it could be Drew Bannister in 2 weeks. We don't know. So I guess going back to your original point, Donnie, even though it does seem like that, dead man walking, I think there's a chance where he could still be the coach, but it's clear that they have interest in a couple other guys that they're going to check with first, and they have to. Like, this is about the St. Louis Blues, not about somebody's feelings.
Let me ask you guys this, because I was talking to BK about this yesterday after the show. We might get into it today on our show, but what would be better for Drew Bannister to get another job in the NHL as a head coach if it's not here with the Blues? Staying in the NHL as an assistant or going back to the AHL as a head coach? Because my thought process here was, let's say the Blues get David Carl from the University of Denver, and they're like, this is the guy, but we want somebody who knows the team and be a little bit of a presence around the team. What if we have Drew Bannister as our assistant coach? Because Bannister, don't forget, played defense in the NHL. I don't really know what his specialty was when he was an assistant in OHL, but my imagination would be that if you're played defense, you could be a defensive coach in the NHL. Is his best route back to the NHL? And if you're him, if the Blues say, hey, we're going to go elsewhere with a head coach, but we have an assistant coach opportunity here, because I don't know if Mike Weber's going to be here because he was a Berube hire. I don't know if Mike Weber's here. You could be our assistant coach in charge of our defense next season, and this could get you to the NHL. Do you take that if you're Bannister?
I think you have to stay in the NHL. I think it's looked at as like a step back if he's going back to the AHL. And then also, you have to have a lot of success in the AHL to get that look again. So if he goes back and they don't have the success, how does he get on anybody's radar again? And if he comes back to the Blues as an assistant coach or associate head coach, you know, you could have that success in a couple years, and then everybody's looking at your staff. Okay, he's an up-and-coming guy. But even if you don't have that success, at least you're here.
At the NHL.
You're on the map, and if anybody's looking for an assistant, they know that you could be a guy.
Yeah.
And you got that interim head coaching experience.
Exactly. And that was my thought process. It's like, man, and I didn't get the chance to ask Drew this yesterday, and I'd love to get his thoughts, but, like, if you're an assistant coach, you played the position, is that the specialty you go to, or is it elsewhere? Because, I mean, think about it, especially for this Blues team where everybody talks about their defense. Well, let's say he takes an assistant coach job next year and your defense looks better than what it did this year. Like, that's a pretty good feather in your cap if you're him looking for an NHL job.
When he was talking specifically, Doug Armstrong, rather, excuse me, about, you know, somebody else being in the playoffs or waiting for, you know, potential first-round exits, whatever, I just kept going back to what you have been saying the last couple months about Sheldon Keefe. That if Toronto gets bounced in the first round,
yeah,
I cannot envision a situation that Toronto brings him back next year. Mm-hmm. And you talk about his work with young players.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me seems like a fit. But then I got super drunk with excitement about the Denver guy last week. Because then I thought, the reason that I got kind of excited about that is like sort of like a John Cooper-esque sort of thing, you know, yeah, with the Blues. You know, yeah, you know, he's with the Lightning, obviously, but maybe we could get something like that where this yeah guy just, you know, kind of grows with these great players as they move on.
And I don't know if you've heard anything on that one, Jared. My gut just tells me that Carl's not going to want to leave University of Denver. I mean,
he seems like he's got it pretty good.
Hearing that celebration press conference that they were having, and I think they're playing a game in Colorado next year, and he had said that, not in Colorado, but where the Avalanche play, he was at the press conference. Like, my gut tells me that that's not there, but I you have better insight than that on for me.
Well, not a ton of insight, but I did talk to somebody yesterday who covers college hockey and you know, has done it for years. And he said one thing to keep in mind is that if a college coach takes an NHL job, they're likely going to get paid over the next 5 years what they would make in the next 20 years in college hockey. So
wow,
it's hard to pass up the money. And that even if you fail, not only do you have the money, but you're likely going to stay in the NHL as an assistant, and so you're in the league now.
Yeah.
Like that's your jump. So he could wait for sure. The other thing, and I had this in my article, is you think, okay, well, they had the parade a couple days ago. Now Doug should be in Denver talking to the guy, and they hire him in a couple days. The last three college coaches didn't sign with their team until May. So, yeah this takes some time.
And Doug said it's not going to be till – he said before June is when we'll announce the next coach.
Yeah, and that's probably part of the reason. You know, let's say that you hired Carl next week. But then in a couple weeks, whether it be Jim Montgomery or Rod Brind'Amour or Sheldon Keefe, you know, one of those guys becomes available that you also had some interest in, like you would have had to have been really sold on David Carl to get that deal done before you have a chance to talk to those other guys.
Yeah,
And it feels like the more that we talk about this coach situation, the less likely in my mind that it feels like Joel Quenneville is the right guy for the job.
I was just going to ask, so like the three of us, where are we at on the Quenneville thing? Because I know everybody's wondering, like, is he going to get the job? Is he not going to get the job? Because this whole conversation, none of us brought up Joel Quenneville. And somebody asked Quenneville yesterday, and Army said, like, we're not speaking specifics of head coaches right now. I can start this one off. I am so torn on this because as a Blues fan, I love the idea of Joel Quenneville being back. Like my prime time is going to make you guys feel real old is like late 90s Blues hockey when I was 8 or 9 years old, right? Like 8, 9 years old watching Joel Quenneville.
Bastard.
I know. Sorry about that, guys. I do have gray hair coming in, though. If you want to see it, it's up there. That's the one side of me that I'm torn because, like, man, I love Joel Quenneville. Like, I thought he was awesome back then. I thought it sucked when he left and he went and had success in Chicago and elsewhere. And then now it's like, damn, you want that guy. But the other side of me looks at it and it's like, man, that is just not something I think anybody can get past. Like,
what was your Monday Night Miracle? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
what
you.
What do you mean?
Yeah, like you were 90s.
Oh,
Dad,
yeah.
And
the Toronto Maple Leafs come back. That was my Monday Night Miracle.
All right, man, there you go. That's applicable.
I mean, look, you scored 6 goals in the third period. Yeah. You got to be pretty on board with that one, right? Better than that Monday Night Miracle, I'd argue. I don't argue that, ladies and gentlemen. My dad, by the way, total sidetrack. Thanks, JR. My dad was in Monday Night Miracle. He was at the game and left.
Oh.
And the people wouldn't let him back in the building. So he said, I had to hear everybody celebrate outside the arena. Oh. I'm like, cool, Dad.
Ernie, come on, man.
Way to go, man. Anyway, so that's the one side of me. I love the idea of it, but on the other side, I just don't know how you get past that. And I think that is going to be a PR nightmare for the Blues. And look, if there's one team that can do it, I think it would be St. Louis. I don't think it's anything like any of the New Yorks or any of the Canada media outlets. I think St. Louis could handle it. But you've also been away from the game for 3 years. You also are coming to a younger team. You have to know that that team's on board with Joel Quenneville, because if they're not all ears when Quenneville steps in, and you've got this stuff behind him, I just don't know if that works. And, man, that's a hire that if you're Doug Armstrong and it does not work, man, I don't know if you could come back from that one. Right. You could come back from a David Carl. You could come back from a Sheldon Keefe or even a Drew Bannister. I don't know if you come back from a Joel Quenneville. So that's my side. I think my final conclusion of it was, long term, I probably would look at it and say, man, it's cool to see Joel Quenneville back. Initially, it's going to be real tough to look at. But I do think that guy still has it in his system, and wherever he goes, I think the team is going to be successful that he goes to coach.
Yeah, and just my two cents, Donnie, super quick, is that when Doug Armstrong started talking about what type of coach they were looking for yesterday, and he said that if you're a Stanley Cup team and you want to get that extra 3-4% out of everybody, he said you go out and get, you know, one of those guys, and he said, we're not there yet. He said, we need a coach who's going to understand that we got some young kids here who are going to make mistakes, and we're going to develop them, and they're going to be okay with that. And all I could think about when he was saying that is interviewing people about Nick Leddy for the 1,000 game story that I wrote a few weeks ago, and Quenneville was so hard on Nick Leddy. And look, it turned him into a good player.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that it couldn't work. All I'm saying is I don't think a 65-year-old, you know, Stanley Cup winning, second most wins in NHL history coach is a guy who's going to come in here and say, yeah, Dalibor, no biggie on the turnover.
Right.
Just get it right tomorrow.
Don't worry for turning it over right in front of your goaltender. We'll figure it out next time and we'll be fine. And I agree with that, but I also look at it as, if you're Doug, don't you have to get a hire that takes those players to the next level? And does a David Carl do that? It's an unknown. And I know Army said yesterday, like, hey, it doesn't have to be NHL experience. That's not what we're looking for. I feel like this is such an important hire, because you've got to get somebody that gets the ears of the veterans, as Doug said, meaning Thomas, Kyrou, Shen, Leddy, Parayko, all of these players, but also can get the best out of the younger players. And that's the next step, because what you don't want is you don't want a regression from Jake Neighbors next year. What you want to see is progress from Zach Bolduc. If Dvorsky's here, you want to see that take the next step. I don't know if hiring somebody who doesn't have the NHL experience can get them to that level.
Well, I got Mike Keenan's number right here. I could send it to Doug. And,
boy, I don't.
You have very impressive numbers in your phone. Yeah.
You want to call him?
Well, no, I'm just saying, I have the lead singer of Sponge and Cowboy Mouth in my phone. That's about it.
Get out of here. Either of those bands
this
are.
This is the guy who's sitting down with Marilyn Manson. Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah, it's not like Marilyn Manson gives me his phone number, for the love of Pete.
Okay, no, but Sponge and Cowboy Mouth,
you should have just recorded the interview and hit the record button.
You wise ass. Okay, hold on. First of all, I'm sorry, but I have to wrap this up because I have to go be on the air.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to interview a band in like an hour.
Oh.
And so I got to do that. But, and we can get back together again whenever you know everybody has time. I'm so glad that you guys and your schedules are now able to breathe a little bit. You could see your families again. That's got to be a friggin' nice part about the Blues not making the playoffs. But before we get out of here, I just genuinely want to thank you two for this season.
Oh, no, you, Donnie.
Not only do I feel like I've gotten to know you guys better and become better friends personally off air, but I have had an absolute blast doing
this. Been a blast.
And you guys stepped up when I really, 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 really needed it. And I just wanted to just thank you two from the very bottom of my heart. I love you to pieces, and I've had such a great time doing this, and hopefully we can continue doing this going forward.
Who do you, like, you're looking at both of us right now. Who do you want to thank more?
He didn't even look at me. He's been staring at you that whole time. So I think
you guys got to friggin' stop. And also, JR doesn't think I ever read his friggin' articles, and I always read his friggin' articles.
Is that why you just did that, to make him feel better about not reading his articles, Donnie?
See, this is how you know.
Because I don't think you listen to my show either. So.
Here is. I can't because I'm on the friggin' air, Ferrario. See, this is when you know you got a good group together. When you can relentlessly bust each other's balls and it be just friggin' fine. Man.
I can say this. I did the podcast with you and Jeff like 2 years ago when I first got here, and at that time I was like, damn, I love doing that. So the more I wanted to get to do it, and then, I mean, people know this story, I've told it a ton of time, but the only reason I'm in radio is because of JR. So it was always a dream of mine to do stuff with JR on the air. Could never do it when I was at KMOX and he was working with Hubbard, and so I was like, damn it. So now that I get to do a podcast, this is like a dream come true.
Yeah,
so.
And Donnie, I know you gotta go talk to SpongeBob here in a little bit, but
cowboy mouth and his mouth of sponge.
Oh, but sponges. Yeah, same thing. I did the last minute a couple years ago with Donnie, and we talked about Rake and Lees for a half hour, and I was like, I have to do that podcast more. This is way better than talking.
This is better than talking hockey.
Well, and I think, you know, going forward, man, I know that pretty soon this is going to be, you know, we're going to be doing this on YouTube, so you're going to be lucky enough to see our faces, which I don't know why they want that
are you
so
kidding
bad.
Me? Look at how sexy the three of us are.
But
I'm going to clip that.
We got a lot of room to grow.
And we're going to have a Last Minute Blues podcast party, not for the listeners, just for the three of us and our families. But we're going to have one so you can see pictures from that.
And the listeners, I'll tweet it.
Very good.
There you go.
Address.
No,
guys,
don't tweet the address, please.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's, yeah. I didn't mean to agree to that.
Yeah, come on, Donnie.
All right, guys, thank you very much. It's been a lot
You're
of fun.
Best.
And we'll do it, I mean, do you think we'll do one of these next week? You think guys will be around?
Once a week, probably good until it gets to the dead period. You got NHL playoffs. You got tons of speculation to get into.
So then maybe next week we can start, you know, I know JR in your article, referencing it because I read it. Some of the positions that the Blues will be looking for. Maybe we can throw some bodies and some ideas into that conversation.
JR's got a report card out soon, so we'll get to that too.
Have fun. I'll be at the beach in Imperial.
Yeah, sure will. Beach in Imperial, meaning the pool.
For our dude who we miss so much, Mr. Jeff Burton, as well as Alex Ferrario from 101 ESPN, Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic. I'm Donnie Fandango from 105.7 The Point. Thank you for listening this year. As always, let's go Blues.
The Last Minute Blues Podcast. Hear more at 105.7thepoint.com.